Welcome to the Chad Taylor Radio Show. Here's Chad Taylor.
This season on the Chad Taylor Show, we're going to talk about how I got into the entertainment business, how I met Danny Wood, Jordan Knight, Jeff Timmons, PM Dawn, MC Brains, Brian Abrams, Morgan Heritage, Irene Cara, all those artists that I had the chance to work with over the years. So that's what I'm going to dedicate this season to. Have a lot of special guests that were with me on the road and a part of that whole backstory, if you will. And the perfect first guest is my wife, Tracy, because for two reasons. She was along for a majority of the ride. And second, we're both quarantined in the house and we can't go many places. So we're actually doing this show from our spare bedroom. We set up a studio and the audio might not be perfect, but I think that's what makes podcasts fun, the imperfections. So we have a couple of cocktails. We got it running. And let me bring on Tracy. First off, welcome.
Thank you. Perfectly imperfect.
She was so worried about doing this because you're like, I might get a frog in my throat. I might stumble. But again, I think that's what people love about podcasts is that they're real. But I really do appreciate you doing this with me. I know this is out of your comfort zone. But I thought, you know, again, you've been along for a majority of the ride. I mean, fairly quickly for my time on the road. I'm talking about when things really got popping. Because you and I met back in April of 2004. Are you impressed that I remember? Do you remember the exact date by chance?
You know, gosh, I really don't think I do.
Do you know who knows? Jim Check.
Oh, Jim knows everything. He's got the journals. He's got the documentation.
It was at the end of April, though.
It was.
End of April, 2004.
Mid-April and somewhere in there.
So I won't get into, like, the deep stories, but fate did bring us together, not to be cheesy, but when you go back to that time, you were just returning from a trip. I believe you were in Texas the night before the show, right?
Yep.
And your best friend had surprised you with tickets to see Jordan Knight at Iowa State University.
Yep.
You were sick. You grew up a big New Kids fan. I think everybody already knows that. You grew up a diehard New Kids fan.
I mean, didn't everybody?
You're right.
Yeah.
But as sick as you were, you almost didn't go to the show.
Yeah, we had been, my friend Mayor and I, we had been down in Texas. We had a national dance competition, and she and I were coaching the girls. And so we'd spent a week with a bunch of high school girls and just exhausted, you know. So by the time we got home and our flights were back, you know, I had been getting a sinus infection. And I just thought there's just no way. As much as we wanted to go, I was just kind of feeling miserable. Well, we said we had to do it. We couldn't miss this. I mean, when we got word that the New Kids, I guess you could say, were kind of back at it doing solo acts and whatnot, we could barely believe it. There was not social media back then. It was like, I don't know if we saw it in like the newspaper or where we even saw that Jordan was out doing his thing. But, you know, we hopped at it. And so we decided, yep, let's do it.
And a very small, intimate venue.
Yeah, tiny.
It seemed a lot bigger at the time when I played there. But going back, you and I went back with Macy, I think it was like last year. And I looked into that room. It was called the Maintenance Shop, right?
Yep.
The M Shop. I think you could only fit like, I don't know, 500 people maybe. Is that being generous?
Well, Iowa State University, the campus where they have, you know, it's the Memorial Union where they have, you know, different acts and events going on. They're for the students. So, you know, nothing big, nothing fancy, just enough for the kids to kind of gather for club shows and whatnot.
Yeah, we were doing a college tour at the time. And I know that particular night, again, we were doing Iowa State. And then the next night we were going to be, I think it was near, we weren't on the campus of the University of Iowa, but we were near it.
You were in Iowa City. Yeah, it was on campus somewhere.
It was, yeah. I don't remember much about it. But what I do remember of that night is I went to the gift shop and I bought a white and blue Iowa State Cyclone shirt. Do you remember that shirt?
Of course.
And so I invested in a shirt. And I was checking Jordan and I in. We weren't staying at a hotel off campus. We were actually staying at the Union. They have these like hotel rooms. Like, and I think it was like on the third floor or something.
Like above it.
Yeah. It's like for parents when parents would come to visit. But we're not talking about like 20 rooms. I think there was only like a handful of rooms, maybe like five. And I'm just throwing a number out there. But it was kind of funny that we were actually staying on campus at the union. So anyway, so you come to the show, and I think that you and I, and again, you have to correct me if I'm just making stuff up here, but I think we locked eyes or at least acknowledged each other as we were walking into the venue. I think when you guys were waiting in line to come in. Am I wrong on that, or am I making that up?
And the funny part about all this is you have to remember we had not, you know, seen or heard from the new kids or Jordan or anybody for years and years and years. So
the last time you seen him, I believe, was in Omaha. Didn't you go to go see him at like a radio show, like in 99,
like
2000?
When he was doing that, Give It to You and all, yeah. You know, that whole tour. Yeah, a couple of friends, we road tripped and went and saw a bunch of different acts. We saw NSYNC and, gosh, just a whole slew of them. But
so back now, yeah. Was I lying, or did we see each other?
So yes. So okay. Fast forward, now we're back in Ames again.
Yes.
And
did we see each other when I walked in?
You know, we did.
Or am I lying?
We did, because I was like, okay, who are these people with Jordan? You know, I mean, I knew they weren't other new kids, but I was also like, did he
She's
like
I know that ain't Danny Wood.
That ain't Danny. That's not Don. I was like, which one would he be? No, he was the sixth new kid.
He's the guy with the dad bod.
Right. No, but so I was just thinking, all right, well, maybe Jordan put together a band or something. You know, we didn't know what was going on.
I'm hoping you thought I was one of his dancers or something.
I don't know. You know, like I said, there was
Okay, can we be honest, though? Let's be honest. You were looking at Jordan Knight. That was your guy.
I mean, because
right?
You have to remember.
Of course, listen.
Yeah, you have to remember.
But for those that don't know, out of the five, and you love all five guys, Jordan Knight was your guy.
Oh, he was. Yeah, I was definitely.
You were a Jordan girl.
Yep. And there's a reason for that. Everybody, you know, all of our friends, just like they all do, they all, you know, someone can claim them. And then everybody kind of gravitates towards that person when we're like watching the videos and having the magazines, all that kind of stuff.
So, yes, you were your other friends, and you have the same best friends, the same group of friends that you've had for years. Any of them other like Danny girl, Donnie girls, or was everybody a Jordan girl when you were growing up? Do you remember?
You know, everybody kind of, and it's kind of funny because different people gravitated towards different members of the band for different reasons, you know?
And there's a reason I'm asking you this, yeah. By the way. You're going to wonder why I'm asking you all this, but
yeah.
It'll all make sense in a second. And the reason, by the way, I'll point this out right away, is you and Jordan are very similar in a lot of ways. So it's so funny that you were a Jordan girl, because as we got to work with him and know him, you guys are so similar in a lot of ways, not
yep.
liking big groups and liking things to be more intimate with maybe two or three people.
Yeah.
So anyway.
But then, you know, so then there we're talking about Jordan, and then you have Danny, who absolutely has my heart. The more we got to know each other, too. And we'll get to Danny later.
Yes. So let's go back. So I'm walking into this venue. There was a line of people waiting to get in. I remember that, but I don't know if I just wanted to make this up in my head, so I'm glad you're validating this, that I noticed you. And the reason I remember this is the same reason I remember seeing you on stage. You were wearing this silver bracelet that stood out to me. Do you remember wearing that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I totally remember that. It was my grandma's bracelet. And, you know, back then when we were young and fun, the outfit was always a thing. You know, of course it was.
But, you were stunning.
Oh, please.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
So, but anyway, you know, because the pictures and all that, we remember what we wore, but.
I think Mad Dog, by the way, was on the road with us. Wasn't he the bodyguard that was traveling with us? Was it? Again, no, Jake's.
Who?
No, it was Bonner.
Sean Bonner.
Sean Bonner.
It was Sean
Mad
Bonner.
Dog.
I know. I was like, who the hell's Mad Dog?
See, I told you.
Yeah.
Don't give me more cocktails. No, it was Sean Bonner. I'm sorry, Sean. I know you're probably listening to this. And by the way, I will invite Sean on this season as well. Sean was so much fun.
It was Sean and James.
And James. And by the way, James doubled as the bus driver and security. Yeah. So we're on the road. We're doing this college tour. And we have this teenage kid opening up for us. Do you remember who it was?
Jerry Reed.
Shout out to Bina and all the crew over there. They were so much fun. But so I noticed Tracy as I'm walking into this venue, and Jerry opens up the show. And again, remember that he's not even 18 at the time. And what are the odds that of all the girls that are at this show, I should say women that are at this show, and you guys are all, how old do you think you were at that point? I mean, we were in our mid-20s. Okay.
Yeah.
Mid-20s. So again, he's under 18. I don't even know if Jerry even knew a New Kid song. You know, he was so young. But anyway.
And we didn't know how young you were.
No, this is the best part of the story.
He looks the part of the rock star.
So I'm sitting backstage And I'm looking out watching Jerry do his thing, and I notice that he picks Tracy out of the crowd.
Yeah, he was opening for Jordan, to kind of set the stage here.
But you got to tell everybody what you had in your hand.
So Jerry, you know.
Jerry, who's by, I think it's like 16 or 17.
At the time he was?
I'm thinking.
Oh, that's terrible. Okay, right. I did not even realize that. So anyway, he's doing his set, and he picks out someone to come up on stage with him, and so he stuck his arm down and pulled me up on stage.
I'm telling you, it was that damn bracelet. Yeah. It was like a magnet for everybody. Know. That's what it was.
Let's go with that, yeah. So then he pulls me up on stage, and, you know, the first I had a drink in my hand, and the first thing that I...
You offered him a sip.
Well, because he said, what are you drinking? You know, I thought, oh, do you want a drink? Here you go.
And I think he told you on stage,
here's
right?
Here's the funniest thing. It was a Smirnoff Ice.
That's what
do
I'm saying.
Do they even make those anymore?
I think they do. But didn't he say, no, I can't because I'm out of age? Didn't he tell you that
he
on stage?
He did. Yeah, he's like, I can't. I'm too young. But
okay, so I don't even know if you know this. I don't even know if maybe I did tell you this story. So after I saw that happen... James always worked my side of the stage.
When you saw it on the TV screen or something.
Correct. Yeah. And I told James, you see that girl right there? Don't let her leave. And I think I also maybe mentioned it to Sean, but I know that I told James. And if anybody knows James, by the way, he's a big guy. He's tall and he's built. But when he talks like Michael Jackson. I mean, he's got a Michael Jackson voice. We used to just laugh and laugh. But I told him, and he's like, yeah, Chad. After I told him, I said, don't let that girl leave. I want to talk to her after the show. And I reminded him again during the show. But anyway, because we didn't pull you on stage when we finally got onto the stage. But I know you guys had a good time. And the friend that you went with is still a dear friend to you today and a dear friend of me. Her name is Mare Peterson. And I know you both had a great time. And she was pregnant. Right at that time?
I don't think at that time quite yet.
She might have been. Maybe?
I don't think so. Not quite yet.
But you guys had a blast. The show was fun. It was very, for those that went to those shows back in the day, they were very intimate. There was no big band. There were no dancers. It was Jordan and myself DJing. I mean, that was it. I was behind the turntables. He was out front. I would do background vocals, and we would just have so much fun. And then there was a part in the middle of the show where he would get behind the keyboard, and he would play a lot of the New Kids ballads. And I just that's when Jordan shined the most. I mean, he would, and you got to remember, I would be with him day in and day out and see show after show. But when he did that part of the show, it would always, like, just stop me in my tracks. Well, and I would have to watch.
And it would just bring you right back to that point in time. You know, the nostalgia, the show that you guys would put on was just, like, what everybody needed then, you know. And it was just, like, nothing we'd ever experienced before. So it was just almost, like, I'd say addictive. You know, you saw one show and it, you would just leave wanting more.
And the best part about that at that particular point when we were doing that particular tour is that he was able at that point to shake the cobwebs off. We had done some shows previous, but prior to that, he hadn't been on the road in years. So he was able to shake those cobwebs and really get out there and find himself again. And I think most importantly, enjoy it. Obviously, both him and I, we had some things to work through personally. But that aside,
but it was so
professionally,
great.
It was so much fun.
And the banter on stage, you guys just were unstoppable. And his voice, I mean, just in that intimate setting was just something special.
It was.
You know, it was just like, not that the arena shows and all that aren't amazing, but I think anybody who's ever been to one of those smaller club shows, they just suck you in. And you two bantering on stage and the laughs and bringing the audience into it all. And it was like, we were on the ride with you. So
I hear from fans still today that will message me on social media and say those were some of the best shows ever.
We would just laugh so hard, you know?
And they were so intimate. I mean, you're talking from a few hundred to maybe top end in the States, 1,100 when we would do like House of Blues type shows. But anyway, getting back to Iowa State and Tracy and I meeting. So after the show, we invited you and Mayor on the tour bus. We had been on the bus at this point. And again, we weren't leaving that night. We were staying overnight. But I invited you on the bus. And you had met Jordan then, but just like anybody that's met Jordan before, it takes time to get to know him. He doesn't like open
it's
up right
like a
away.
Casual hello.
Yes.
And, you know, Chad's like, hey, what are you guys doing after the show? You know, what's going on? Can't anything, you know? And we're just like, you know, not a whole lot. And he's like, well, we're just going to kind of hang out and watch movies and whatever on the bus. If you guys want to come hang out. Wow. you know, my mind immediately was thinking, this can't be safe. And then, you know.
But the New Kid fan in you was like, I got to take this opportunity.
We got to do this.
I got to go on that bus.
And Mare, her famous words to this day, just go with it, Trace. Just go with it.
Wait a minute. She said that before you went on the bus?
Just go with it. Because, like, you know, you have to put yourself in our shoes where Midwest, you know, we're kind of the naive and just a little more reserved and, you know, want to have fun. But at the same time, it's like you have all these thoughts going through your mind, like, is this a safe thing to be doing?
You're just doing a roundabout way of saying you thought sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
That's exactly what
you thought.
But that's not what we were.
And it was anything but when you finally got on that bus.
And so, you know, and then we just figured, well, what the heck? You know what I mean? What could possibly be? It's not like it wasn't Guns N' Roses. It wasn't, you know, anybody hardcore. So we thought, shoot, why not? They seem nice enough when we're, talking and stuff.
Our bus was anything but. I mean, we had old gangster movies like Goodfellas and Godfather that we would play over and over and over again. Jordan loved mafia type movies and shows.
And that's exactly what you said you were going to watch.
We were watching movies. Yeah. We watched movies, and Jordan was the best travel companion. Because he was like me. He liked to read. He liked to watch those types of movies. He didn't like big crowds. It was just the best bus to be on. It was quiet in that regard. And we would laugh. I mean, we would just stay up late laughing and just rehashing crazy things that we might have seen on TV
or the show
or whatever it might have been. A lot of people don't realize that the best moments for me, of course, the shows were fun to perform, but the best moments that I miss the most are just those intimate moments of just like him and you and Jim Check and Amy Check and
the inside joke,
the inside Lynn Hughes and just some of our special friends, the Chicago Six.
Yep, all the downtime.
All the downtime and the laughs and those types of moments are what I miss the most. But anyway, so I said something really, really cheesy to Tracy, and I'm going to admit this on this podcast. I know she's going to kill me. I'm trying to stay away from stuff like this. But I did promise, though, that I would be honest and spill some, as one person put it on Twitter, are you going to spill any tea? And so I'm going to spill a little tea on myself. Let's just say that. I was infatuated with her when I met her. I just thought she was stunning. And you're still stunning. But I said to her, as I was giving her the tour of the bus, I said, I can change your life. And you know I said that.
Forever.
I mean, that's just horrible for somebody to say, by the way. I'll call that out right now. However, I'd like to remind her that that was a true statement. See, I had a premonition. I did end up changing your life. So anyway, but I used that line on her. But anyway, it went fast. They were only on there, I don't know, maybe a half hour. And I recall, as you were on the bus with Mare visiting with us, Sean came on the bus to report, if you remember this, that he had a little incident inside the venue. Do you remember that? He poured a drink over a guy's head.
Fuzzy.
Some guy had gotten out of line I think Jordan was still doing a meet and greet at that point or taking photos or something. And this guy had gotten a little snarky, got a little out of line. And Big Sean had poured a drink over this guy's head. And this guy was just terrified of Sean. And Sean was great because he would do that. But then he'd come apologize. He'd be like, I'm sorry, Chad. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, Chad. I had to do it. It was just – anyway. So we didn't get to visit that long. And I don't even know if we exchanged phone numbers at that point.
I don't know. We were on the bus for – I think it was longer than that.
I don't know, maybe half hour, 45 minutes, hour tops maybe.
I mean, because we were hanging out and watching, and Jordan was singing.
Playing music. I remember music was playing in the back.
Yeah, I mean, it was longer than that. But
so fast forward that we had a show the next night in Iowa City, and I invited them to join us down there. And but I said, listen, here's the deal, because we did. I said, we have extra rooms, and if you guys want to come down, because the travel distance between Des Moines, where Tracy and Mare lived, and Iowa City was like an hour and a half. I said, if you guys want to come down to the show and you guys want to have a room, you're welcome to it. We'd love to have you guys come down. They came down. Fun show.
Except it almost didn't happen after that nice invitation, because Mare at the last minute couldn't come, so I was able to get my friend Julie.
Why don't I not remember that?
Yep, Julie came to that one with me that night. Yeah.
See, that's why I'm glad we're doing this, because I thought Mayor came down with you.
Not to Iowa City, but Mayor.
No, I know she was in Iowa City, but I know she was in Ames.
Yep.
But I always thought she went to Iowa City. I don't remember
that. See, and here's the funny thing, too. Chad and I were like, yeah, let's do this. We're going to rehash some old memories. You have to remember, we are now
44.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And like I just said, we were in our mid-20s at the time. So
but
like,
thank God. This is why people always say things about people that journal. And God bless my best friend, Jim Check. He has kept a daily journal since he was in like middle school. I think maybe even earlier. Seriously, he has a journal for every single day.
There's like bits and pieces.
And this is why I love him, because I could actually have him open that journal and he could tell me exact dates and times verbatim.
Yep.
So anyway, I'm glad I'm learning something.
I don't know. We're trying to piece this together. So
anyway, you came down.
Yeah.
You came down. You enjoyed yourself.
Did.
We hung out, but really brief.
Totally brief.
I do remember passing you in the hall, and you were going to your room. I was going to my room, and I think we both thought that was going to be it. I don't remember exchanging phone numbers.
Do you remember what I did say to you, though?
Are we spilling the tea?
Well, that's just
I just want to know how far I can go.
This is just a little side.
This is what they wanted, though. Yeah. Go ahead and spill the tea, then. Because I was going to leave that out. You're okay to say it.
Well, I mean, this was just, it's just a comment that I thought was
comment seared into my heart.
Okay, but here's the thing. I thought I was being a good friend, if you will, a new friend.
A co-signer.
By sharing this with you.
But
so we were...
Wait, before you reveal that, you had to know I was interested.
I mean,
you're not that naive.
Here's the thing. I just thought you were a super nice guy. You were,
you know, collectively, there are a lot of people right now gagging.
Yeah,
you said,
I know.
He's a nice guy.
But like, I just thought, again, at the time we were naive, you know, we didn't really pick up on all this, and we were just there to have a good time and whatever, enjoy the show and meet new friends, whatever. So we were there, and Chad was in his room. I don't know what he was doing in the hotel. And
I was doing nothing.
So we were coming back through the lobby. I don't know if we'd gone to get something to eat or what the deal was. Like I said, we were how many years ago? So we
remember.
We came back, and one of the girls in the lobby.
Why can't I remember who this is? I do remember. I couldn't tell you. You see, you don't forget. You're like an elephant. You don't forget anything.
Yeah.
I bet you know the name too, don't you?
No.
You don't?
No, I really don't.
Okay, you're being honest?
I promise you.
Okay.
This was not one that was ever around again.
All right, but anyway.
I think that was kind of a one-time deal.
This is a true story. Yeah. So we're passing each other. I was putting the key in my door, and Tracy was walking. I saw her coming towards me. I thought, oh, all right, now we're talking.
Yeah. So
that's what I'm thinking.
Yep. So I thought I needed to share with him that a gal in the lobby was looking for you, and she was asking me if I knew where you were.
Oh, and she was a complete bugaboo, by the way.
Yeah, she.
I can see her in my head, but I can't remember her name. And if you're listening to this podcast, I apologize.
Yeah.
But it's true. You were a bugaboo.
But so I.
Or as Danny Woodward say, she's that girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's that girl.
So, but this girl over here to my right.
Yeah.
Proceeds to walk past me,
and I said,
as I'm watching her come towards me and say, you said something like, hey, there's a girl looking for you in the lobby. And I thought,
yeah.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. I invite this girl down as my guest, and she's going to just blow me off, because that's exactly what you did. You blew me off. And then I thought, okay, well, it just wasn't meant to be. Nice girl, whatever. The funny thing is, we have to go back now to Iowa City just for a second, because how fate worked out is after the show in Iowa City, we had a week off, maybe 2 weeks off. I don't remember exactly, but I do know that James took the bus, I believe, to North Carolina to be cleaned. He would do that as we had time off. He'd take the bus down to where he was from, the bus company, he'd clean it, get it ready for the next leg of the tour. And James found Tracy's checkbook on the bus. It fell out of her purse somehow. And this happened, but this happened not in Iowa City, but it happened in Ames. That was the only time she was on the bus. And those are the times, if you remember back in those times, you'd put everything on your checkbook. I mean, your address, your phone number. Some people even put their social security, I think, on their checks.
I had my social security number on my check.
So James found her checkbook, and he called her. And his intention was to just mail her the check. Or so, the checkbook.
Yeah. So I get this phone call. The high pitch.
Tell the story because I'm going to go get a drink because you're doing this. Go ahead.
The high pitch Michael Jackson voice. Here, describe your product.
Go ahead. I'm going to grab it. Go ahead.
So anyway, I get this high pitched Michael Jackson sounding guy on the phone, you know, is this Tracy? And I knew immediately who it was. He didn't even have to tell me. And this was like, what, weeks later or so?
It was a while. A decent couple of days at least.
Yeah, it was a while. And, yeah, this is she. And then he went on to say, you know, we found your checkbook. And I had already written it off that it was gone forever because I had no idea where it ended up or whatever. Well, he said, well, I've got this for you. What do you want me to do with it? Are you going to be coming out to any of the other shows? Do you want me to mail it?
See, I think he was trying to hit on you.
No, he was just super nice. But here's the funny thing. My number was on that checkbook, and then he called me often.
That's what I'm saying.
Because we were trying to figure out, you know, when he could get this checkbook to me and stuff. And I'm like, oh, you can just put it in the mail. You're not going to be in Iowa anytime soon.
But as you guys, in the course of your conversation, yeah, he had told you that we were going to be in Dallas, Texas.
He did. And I said, funny enough, I'm going to be in Dallas at the end of the month as well, visiting my best friend, Angela Lynn, who was living in Dallas at the time. And he said, well, when are you going to be there? And let me pull out my ticket. Let me see what the weekend is, whatever. And lo and behold, he said that they had just had a show scheduled for Dallas the same week.
Again, fate intervening.
The same exact weekend that I already had tickets to be in Dallas. So he said, well, hold on to the checkbook. And
now people need to realize this is all being coordinated between you two.
Yeah.
I have no idea this is happening.
We didn't even exchange phone numbers or anything like that, you and I.
No, and I don't want to say I left with a sour note.
But you left.
Because you didn't do anything wrong in Iowa City. I was just mad because I was hoping to... Poor Nana's listening or something. I wasn't hoping to do that, but I was hoping to, you know, spend some alone time with you, but she was giving me no time of day. So Nana did do a good job in that regard because she just, I don't think you knew how to take me in that way.
No.
And I don't think you thought of me in that way yet.
No, that just was not even on my radar. And
it was definitely on my radar.
Yeah, I was just so busy at the time. I was, you know.
Typical guy. It was definitely on my radar. So anyway, we get to Dallas. I have no idea that she's coming to the show. James says nothing to me about this. He doesn't bring up the checkbook that he's talked to her. Nothing. And we're sound checking at this venue, and I hear Tracy's voice in the background, and I hear her rearranging chairs. And I don't know why it got under my skin, but it did. It got under my skin, and I think it had to do with how I felt that I was kind of, what is the word I'm looking for to say it right? Like, I felt like you kind of blew me off, maybe? Is that the right way to? Yeah. So then I'm, like, my ego is obviously bruised at that point. And then the next time you pop up, you're at a show again. You're not there as my guest. You're there as some. And I don't even know who invited her at this point, but I hear her voice, and I hear her moving chairs. And I think I said something pretty like.
Well, yeah, because James had.
Kind of like an arrogant tone to you. Like, what are you doing?
He had Ange and I come to the show like. Must have been probably like maybe around sound check time or the pre-show, whatever, to come meet him to get the checkbook. And then, of course, he wanted to give us tickets and all that stuff to come to the show. So he said, come meet me. And he was trying to set up chairs and we were helping him. And so we were just trying to like set stuff up and help him finish whatever he was doing. And then in comes Chad and he was like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
There's that girl. Yeah, that girl.
So we did the show. I don't remember much about the show. I remember, I think we did like a meet and greet after the show, though. And I saw you again there at that meet and greet. And the hotel that we were staying at was very close to the venue.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're like within like a walking distance.
Yeah.
So we obviously didn't take the bus. It was like a block. I think we just all walked with security and just walked back. And anyway, she's walking with us. And by the way, I know I made some other snarky comments to her at the show at that meet and greet. Again, I have a bruised ego. She's not giving me any time of day. And I thought, okay, I've had it with this girl. So we're walking in the hotel. They're right in our mix with us. They're walking with our group. And so I thought I'd be really cool. And I said to her, I turned around to her and I said, listen, I hope you don't think you're coming up with us. And she looks back at me. She says, no, I'm not coming up with you or going with you. I'm with them. And there was...
No, with him.
With him. She was a group of guys. Did you meet them? How the heck did you meet them?
They were at the show.
And then I thought, okay, now I really don't like this girl.
This big group of guys, they were at the show.
Oh, I didn't. Now I really didn't like her because now she came back at me and, yeah. And my ego was bruised twice. And then it just gave Jordan more ammunition to bust my balls.
Oh, well, you were being something else that night, though. You were having, must have been having a night. Now that I know you, you were in one of your little modes, which is funny to me. But
well, again.
So, but I got the
You have to understand
yeah.
that. I, Jordan had been living this type of life for, since he was a teenager.
Right.
I'm getting a little taste of it in my late 20s. It's something that I'd always aspired to. And by the way, I'm going to get into that too, because I still don't think a lot of people realize that what I did leading up to this, I didn't just fall into this job. So we'll get into that later on. But anyway, bruised ego. I don't see her again after that. We go upstairs. Whatever you, I don't even know what you guys did that night.
I don't know. We just went to,
just tell me you didn't like kiss this guy.
Oh gosh, no, not at all. No, like this is what I remember. And now you're going to laugh again because it goes back to the stereotypical naive Midwest girl. But, it was a group of guys, but all like,
and I'm sure that they were trying to also get somewhere with you as well.
See, I'm not super sure about that.
I'm positive.
Because I don't know. Well, the one guy was a hairdresser.
Oh, jeez.
but super good looking. Like, super, super good looking. And, like...
And straight?
And he was straight.
Okay.
I know. And, like...
No, listen, there are straight hairdressers out there.
I know. But, like, again, to say you'd think stereotyping,
right.
whatever. But, like, that's what I'm saying. It was just, like, a big group of fun people. But the guy that was super good looking was a hairdresser. So...
Was he single?
I assume so.
Did you kiss him?
I don't know. No, I didn't. Nothing.
Hug?
No, I promise you.
Handhold?
Nothing.
Did he buy you a drink?
No, nothing. Well, he might have bought a drink for some of us.
Where are you?
But where am I? I'm going with this is that the reason I remember he was a hairdresser is because that's why he approached me in the first place. I had really long brown hair.
You're telling me this guy's way of trying to connect with you is like through saying, oh, you have gorgeous hair.
We were talking
about a line.
Okay,
I thought I had a bad line.
Okay. We were talking about hair and that's kind of what started us.
It'll show you how guys will use anything.
I guess, and who knows, maybe he wasn't even a hairdresser that could have totally been like,
how many times I've lied in my life.
Oh my God, totally.
Jim and I have written for Billboard magazine. We have, we've lied our way to get into backstage areas. You have no idea.
Oh,
so.
No, I do know. So all I'm saying is that conversation was like all about hair, blah, blah, blah. And then they were having an after party at the hotel, same hotel you guys were staying at. So, yes, we went. We didn't stay there or anything. We were only there for a short while. And then we ended up going back to Angie's apartment. But, I mean, again, it was plain and simple and nothing more, nothing less. And
be honest. I'm sure you said, because I'll ask Beaner. By the way, that's Angela.
Yeah.
Is Beaner is what we call her. So if you hear me reference that, you probably had some nasty things to say about me that night.
Well, not nasty. I'm just it just seemed like you had a chip on your shoulder and you were bitter. And I was like, oh my God, what happened to the Danny Zuko I met at the beach?
I'm going
to
ask Beaner.
That's kind of what it was.
I'm going to ask Beaner. She'll tell me the truth.
But
you probably were just dogging
me. But she was laughing because you were like so abrasive towards me.
Oh, I was pissed off. I was mad.
And I'm like, what did I do? Like, it was just kind of what it was like.
Here's what makes me mad about. And by the way, when you go back to this podcast, I want you to know you led me down this path.
Right.
You're spilling the tea. I was going to do an abbreviated, but I think people will appreciate this more. I'm glad you're opening up. Maybe it had something to do with the Cayman Jack.
I don't know.
Moscow. Where's yours, by the way?
It's in the bedroom.
I think you might have to go get yours as I get into a long story. But anyway, it was bitter because, again, when you bruise a guy's ego, at this point, you've done it like three times.
But I didn't know that.
You have to remember the ball busting is like nonstop at this point. So I have to admit, well, I knew I was done. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to see this girl again. What are the odds I'll see her again? Well, the odds were pretty good because then I saw you again in Rockford, Illinois, but I decided to let it be a clean slate. And the cool part about that show in Rockford is that you had met my best friends at the time it was his girlfriend, not his wife or fiance, but you met Amy Check.
But let me back the truck up just a little bit.
Which would be Amy Mendoza, by the way. She wasn't married at that point.
Right, just to set the scene. Rockford was not fate. Rockford was actually planned.
Rockford wasn't fate.
No, because...
Well, it's still fate that you would decide to travel to Rockford.
Right, but it wasn't one of those, like, how Dallas happened.
But here's what I don't get, though.
With Rockford, we found out that you guys, again, there was not social media at the time. I don't know how we found out that there was going to be another show in the Illinois.
I'm glad you point that out, because anybody listening has to know that there was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, there was no Instagram, nothing. There was no social media.
But their show was so good that we found out that they were going to be there, and we were not going to miss it.
There was JordanKnight.com, and there was like a message board that a lot of fans utilized. I can't even remember what it was, but it was like...
And I can guarantee you we did not find out about the show on JordanKnight.com, although that's all that existed. But we found out that show was happening, and Chad and Jordan were so good on stage. Like I said earlier.
But you would never answer. Why did you – obviously you were going to see Jordan at the point because you did not like me.
No, gosh, no. But at that point, we loved the show so much, and anybody who goes to those club shows will tell you that – you can't just go to one. Like, once you start, like, getting that in your blood, you enjoy the show so much. You start to memorize the show. You meet other people at the show that you'll see, you know, in that same region and stuff.
A lot of these women are still friends because of that today.
Sure. Yeah.
Which I love so much about
some
that.
Some of our dearest friends we've met at these shows. But, so anyway, I just wanted to set that scene that, you know, once you start going to these shows, you can't just stop. You know, it's almost like... that's just what you do. I didn't have any kids at the time. I had never been married, nothing, you know? So it was like, all right, that's what we're going to do this weekend. So now Mare is back in the picture.
But she is pregnant.
She is pregnant now. And we said, let's do it. We're going to go on the weekend road trip. We're going to start in Rockford, and then we'll end up the weekend in Rock Island, and then we'll head back home. It'll be a fun weekend.
So she meets Amy. It was Amy Mendoza at the time. This is Jim's future wife.
In Rockford.
In Rockford, in the bathroom.
Of the show.
Yes. And Amy, by the way, did not know the backstory, our backstory.
Oh gosh, no.
Craziness that started in Ames, then went to Iowa City and Dallas. She didn't know anything about that.
No. Had you even seen me yet at that point?
No, I didn't. No. I hadn't seen you since Texas.
Yeah. And it had been a little while.
But I didn't see you until the stage. But there's a funny story behind Rockford is that Jordan and I were almost like competing for Tracy's attention. Like, who could do something more outrageous? I don't even know why, but I do remember that. And okay, and then I thought, okay, I saw her clean slate. It had been a while. Okay, so I'm going to give her another chance. We're just going to start fresh. There was no attitude. There was no.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, and it goes back to what I said about us on the bus. I invited her and Mare to come back to our hotel. Again, this was not sex, drugs, and rock and roll. We had actually had, I believe, like three rooms combined. And you could open up a door that would just go to the next room and the next room. And I had had Jim in town with me. I had Amy. Jason Dean, I believe, was in town. Jordan had some friends. So it was really a collective group of friends. And I said, would you guys like to come? And Tracy, oh, absolutely.
And I told her where it was.
And she said, yep, I'm going to be there. And I thought, okay.
The fact that I had met Amy in the bathroom at the club.
And Amy liked you. And Amy's Amy co-signed you. She's like, oh, this girl's great.
Amy was like a twin to this gal I went to college with who was in my sorority. I thought for sure that she was somehow related to one of my friends. So we had already talked and hit it off for like half the night before we even knew that she was a friend of Chad's or was going to be at this after party, I guess.
And you got to remember, too, and this is why to this day that Jim and Amy are still our best friends, is that Amy and Jim had to go through a lot of that with me. At that time in my life, I was in a dysfunctional marriage and I was just reckless in that regard as far as like, again, it goes back to like, you're this, you know, I'm getting this taste of something I never had before. So, you know, I always tell everybody professionally on fire, personally, I was a mess in that way because I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I think all the fans know what I'm saying, but Amy and Jim had to like see me with like all sorts of different people and be like, oh, that person, you know what I mean? So like after meeting you, they're like, oh, that's somebody we'd want to hang out with. And I think that's why they connected with you and they liked you. So anyway, I put the invite out and you say yes, that you're going to go. And then lo and behold, you don't show up again.
No, I don't show up to the after party, but this time there was a good reason.
But you never called to tell me that. You left me hanging. No, at that point, I think we exchanged numbers. So I'm waiting this whole time. Everybody's got their significant other with them. Jordan's got friends. Jason Dean, I think, had Amanda maybe. I don't recall. Jason, I apologize. You might have had Amanda with. I don't remember, but I do know Jim and Amy were there. Was Amanda there? I don't remember, but I know Jason was there. And she didn't show up again. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. This is like, at this point, this is strike four. I mean,
and
this is like.
He was really nice to me that night.
Very nice.
So, like, that's why he was like, I don't get it.
It was ridiculous.
So here's the thing. I'm like, all right, he's being cool. We'll go, whatever. But there was a very good reason, right? So Mare was pregnant at the time, and she was just starting to get super sick at that early trimester, you know, the.
Which
sickness and stuff.
By the way, I'm okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But you never bothered to like pass that along.
So I didn't want to just leave my friend at the hotel by herself, not feeling well. And here I'm going to go off to some after party, whatever, that I still was not like, I wasn't going to go by myself. And I certainly didn't want to leave Mare in the condition she was in. So,
and by the way, can I tell you what our after parties were consisting of again?
Yeah.
Not to again dumb them down, but they are literally just a group of friends
like board games.
Playing board games or laughing and just, again, you're talking about a very intimate group of people. That's what these parties consisted of, or these gatherings. Very low key, same group of people, but she doesn't show up. And I thought, okay, I got to be done with this girl. This is like the biggest game player. I think in my mind, I'm like, this girl is just playing games with me.
In my heart, I do feel like I tried to call you. I don't know if I tried to call the hotel or if I tried to call a cell phone and it wasn't the right
No.
I don't know.
No.
Because I wasn't trying.
You never tried nothing.
Okay.
So the next night we were in the Quad Cities. Now, Jim and Amy did not go, but I think they had to go home at that point. Mm-hmm. So it was, Rock Island. It was just me and Jordan at that time. There was no entourage. It was just, we had an outdoor show. I do remember that. Mm-hmm. And I saw Tracy in the lobby of the hotel. And here's again the whole fate thing I keep bringing up, because there are a ton of hotels in the Quad Cities.
Tons of them.
And for those that don't know the Quad Cities, it's Bettendorf and Davenport, Iowa, connecting with Molina, Rock Island, Illinois. So there are plenty of hotels. And those two, Mare and Tracy, end up staying at the same exact hotel as we did. And again, I never gave her that information.
Well, no. And there wasn't social media, so no one heard where people were staying, none of that type of thing. But, you know, I'd be willing to bet when we made our reservations, it was probably like the closest thing to the festival or something.
It made the most sense.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure there was a reason, because there were probably lots of other people going to the show staying there too. But anyway, so that morning, the morning of the show in Rock Island, we all just had checked into the hotel, and Mare had gone up to the room. She still just was not feeling super well. And, you were roaming around the lobby too in the morning, and I was letting Mare rest and just kind of sleep.
And then we connected, and I don't even know why I wasn't mad at her, but again, for some reason, I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah. You said you want to go get some lunch or want to go walk around. You had to like go check out the stage or something. I don't know.
I had to check out the stage. I had to load equipment in. I had so much stuff to do. Jordan was, and anybody that knows Jordan knows that he likes to sleep.
Yeah.
And he was finally getting it. And by the way, he deserved it at that point, because I know we had been doing a ton of like morning TV and morning radio and all sorts of stuff. So he had earned his rest. So I was
resting his voice.
He was resting up. And so we went, and you joined me for all that kind of stuff. And the funny thing is, after that is pretty much when I think we started to kind of just realize maybe we were going to talk, you know, and then I think from there, everything just kind of changed. Because for me, it gets foggy after it, it's foggy after that, because I know that I would see you at different places again, but I don't know if I didn't see you until Florida or if I didn't, you know, it's like, that's where it's foggy for me. Did I see you in Florida? Did I see you in Minnesota? I can't remember. But I do know shortly after that is when we started to hang out a lot. And then you pretty quickly started to work for us.
Yeah.
And then Jordan brought you on, and you were doing everything from helping me road manage to helping sell merch to being Jordan's executive assistant at that point. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that Tracy would, I mean, even to the point of ironing clothes. I mean, it was just, we were a small unit at that point too, because after you and I started to talk and get serious, we didn't travel with security then that much after. I know Bubba was out for with us for a little bit, but I mean, for the most part, we were doing a lot of radio promotion. What that meant was
tons of radio.
You would fly into like, for example, I'm just using this as an example. You'd fly into like Pittsburgh, and then you would rent a car in Pittsburgh, and you would do Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Allentown. You would do, you would just drive it, and you'd go see radio stations. You'd do morning TV. You would do newspaper interviews, and then you would do these small shows along the way. And a lot of these different radio stations we would visit would then put on shows, and you would play for, you know, their listeners. And so that we did a lot of that, and Tracy would join us, and it was driving, by the way. I said each episode, by the way, is going to be an hour, so watch the clock,
okay?
Because you and I will have probably two or three parts. There's a lot to get to, so but it's important that we set it up. Mm-hmm. Everybody's always wanted to know how did you come into the fold. So anyway, and I do want to point this out, by the way. This wasn't like Jordan giving charity to my girlfriend. Jordan ended up really just liking Tracy, and just thought she was so organized. It was actually his idea. If I remember it, he's like, well, you know, she's always with us. Why don't we just put her to work? So Tracy was juggling, helping us out on the road, but you were still doing jobs back home and driving your family crazy. Let's just put that out there. Her mom and dad and her sisters, they had no idea what she got herself into. And they are thinking, not to use this over and over again, but they're thinking the same thing she was initially meeting us. Oh, God, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. What? And she's the baby of the family. And again, that could be the farthest from the truth.
Like I was doing, you know, I was
all sorts of stuff
back home in Iowa at the time. I had a nanny job, and I was, you know, taking care of my sister's kids and doing that. And then I was teaching dance, coaching dance team before and after school with Mayor, my best friend. And so we were just super, super busy all of the time. And then on the weekends, we would go flying out and meet up and do the radio promo tours.
And by the way, I know that you probably put a ton on your credit card, because prior to like officially coming to work for us, you'd fly out on your own dime. And it was just, but we were having a ton of fun. I mean, there's so many stories we're going to get into on the second part of this, because this is when you came to work and you really got to know me better and got to know Jordan better. And there's so many, so many fun stories that we're going to clue you in on. I do want to tell you on this season, if there's anybody that's listening to these hoping to get like dirt, you're listening to the wrong podcast, because first off, I would never do that. There's friendships that I value. And first off, second off, I was never an altar boy, so I would never do that to anybody. So if anybody's looking for those types of stories, wrong podcast, wrong series. But if you're looking for the fun, funny, those types of things, you'll hear that this season. And I think it's important to point out that's why we're still close with those guys. And whenever, by the way, they're near us, we definitely go see them. You know, our lives obviously have just taken different directions, but again, we just have so much to cover this season. And I thought it would be fun to start with Tracy, and we're almost to the hour mark, but I do want to point out, once you officially, I think, really came on board, you started to make the trek to Orlando, and we were in Orlando. We actually rented out a condo. And the cool thing about this condo that we found, it was nothing, by the way, extraordinary. It wasn't like this expensive complex or, you know, but it had this this like bar restaurant in it. And Boys to Men were staying there recording, because they were recording Orlando. At one point, R. Kelly was staying there. I know that some of the Backstreet Boys would stop over there. And we just had so much fun in Orlando, and we were recording Jordan's follow-up to, because he had that album he did for for Paul and them in Miami. I don't really count that and talk much about that. That's where he did the remix album, The New Kids on the Block, where he sang the songs again, which, by the way, there was some good stuff on there. But I'm talking more about what he did, The Fix, the EP. And we had Tracy come down, and we were able to introduce Tracy to people like Slick Rick and Dougie Fresh when they recorded on The Fix with us. And you got a chance then to meet some of the people from Transcontinental Records, like the notorious Lou Pearlman and Dakari and Brian Gillis, a.k.a. Briz, and Rich Cronin from LFO, and
yeah, I feel like
the O-Town guys. I mean, Joel Schaller and Neff and all these great folks that we had the chance to work with. And
I mean, the Orlando stories could be an entire podcast.
Oh, we'll get to that.
A couple of hours.
I just wanted to lay the groundwork for episode number two, because we're going to pick up in Orlando, because it was really fun to see. Now, for those that don't know, I grew up a huge, huge hip-hop fan. And I loved the old school hip hop. We're talking like LL Cool J, Run DMC, Slick Rick, Public Enemy, Beastie Boys. And so when Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick agreed to come down and record The Fix with us, my mind was blown. But I don't even think Tracy knew who they were.
Slick Rick.
I think you heard the name, but I don't think you could have probably given a song title.
Correct.
So there's those stories. Just so much stuff we're going to get into in the second part of this one. But is there anything that I missed before we cut this one off?
You know,
that people need to know.
Like you said, it's been so long ago. It's hard to kind of fill in some of those blanks, and I'm sure we'll revisit some of these places that we've skipped along. But
because I think we're both 27 at this point,
ish. Yeah,
27 ish. Getting ready for 28.
But you know, I think it's worth saying the reason that we both thought it would be so fun to do this and to kind of walk down memory lane, it's because it's such a huge part of not only who you are, but who we are collectively as a family.
Yeah.
Macy Lynn, we wouldn't have her if it weren't for Jordan. So
yeah,
he will always have a very special place in my heart, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have you and I wouldn't have my Macy. So,
you could do without me.
But we don't have anything but love for these guys and for our time and our experiences on the road, with them all, and their memories that we'll always have. So
maybe we'll cut it here. I think this is probably a good cutting point.
There's just so much more. We're
under the hour mark here, but we'll pick up with Orlando, and we'll pick up recording The Fix. And we're not only going to talk about The Fix, we're going to talk about the Grammys. We had fun Grammy week. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Grammys. There's some great stories with the Grammys with Jordan, Tracy, and I, so we'll get into that.
When you guys came home to meet my mom and dad.
When we made the trek to Des Moines for the first time with Bubba. And there's just so much good stuff coming. Yeah. And I'm going to try to do part two tomorrow night. And maybe I'll get Tracy a couple more cocktails and she'll be really loose to tell some fun stories. So we'll do that. We're going to get this one up, and then we'll get the second part up sometime this weekend. So thank you so much for listening. It's been a lot of fun, and we'll look forward to the second part of this. Take care.
Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Chad Taylor Radio. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform.